The content of this program is meant for educational purposes only, because knowledge is power. However, the controversial subject matter discussed may not necessarily reflect the views of this station, its management, staff, or its advertisers.
Six minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Monday, September 26, 2022. Welcome to hour number two of the Power Hour. Dave Krieger with you. And of course, we have open lines as long as you're going to stick to the subject matter at hand. And that number is 844-769-2944. We have Ken Raposa with us. He is an industry analyst from the Coalition for a Prosperous America, former staff correspondent for the Wall Street Journal, and a senior contributor to Forbes covering China since 2011. He's a seasoned veteran business journalist. He's got more than 20 years of experience reporting locally for the Boston Globe, stationed abroad as a staff reporter for the Wall Street Journal and Dow Jones News in Sao Paulo, where he won awards for his work. And of course, he's deeply familiar with a lot of what was just issued in the United Nations Human Rights Report, Assessment of Human Rights Concerns in the Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region, People's Republic of China. You see, now, why do we talk about stuff like this and everybody's yawning and going, oh, we already heard all this stuff. The UN walks on eggshells around China's Xinjiang is an international human rights crime. You know, given the UN's general tiptoeing around China, the reports, probably the most damning of all reports, it's 48 pages long. I have a copy of it. And, you know, the outgoing UN Human Rights Commissioner, Michelle Bachelet, did delay the report until the final hour when she was headed out the door. This is dated 31 August 2022. I finally have a copy of it here. It is indeed 48 pages in length. Ken Raposa, welcome to the show, sir. I take it you are familiar with this.
Can you have me on, David?
You bet. I take it you're very familiar with this report. You've read it?
Yep. That's my job. I got to read bills, and I got to read things like this, you know, so I know all the fine print.
Yeah, there's a lot of it. seriously, folks, you want to read this. You know what? We have a link. If you have subscribed to our email blast, there is a UN report, 48 inches. Yeah, it should be 48 inches in length, 48 pages in length. It's a big read, folks. There's a lot of footnotes. There's a lot of white paper references, a list of articles and media pieces. We don't know exactly how much deep dive that the UN is able to do. The next question is do we really trust the UN? Even though, I mean, here's the thing. Why did she delay the report until she was headed out the door?
You're asking me that. Why did she delay the report?
Speculate.
Yeah, I'll speculate. Well, I think, you know, here's the thing that people don't understand, and this is real. You know, so think about everybody. We're all humans. You all have relations with people, right? So now Michelle Bachelet, she's been working with Chinese diplomats, right, for years, and so she's become friends with them. Right, it's no different than a reporter, for example, who's covering Washington, but they're having an affair with the aide. Right, they're best friends with the senator. They go to their birthday parties, and so it becomes very difficult for them to throw shade at these guys and call them out on things that are embarrassing because they get the phone calls. They lose friendships. Okay, so I think that has to be taken into consideration on a low level, because that's real. That's real why a lot of them hold off on these things, because they don't want to embarrass people that have become their friends in some ways. Not best friends from high school, but you know what I mean. They know these guys. I don't want to embarrass you. I don't know you, but I don't want to embarrass you. If I find out something crazy, I don't want to embarrass you. So they don't want to embarrass. So she knows she's not up for re-election or whatever. She's not going to take the job anymore. She's done her thing. This is the harshest report on Xinjiang, okay? Because what the UN says in that report is China has committed international human rights crimes. So what does that mean? That means that if someone has the guts, they could sue in an international court, like in The Hague. They could sue Chinese officials in Xinjiang, who run those prisons and so on, sue them for international human rights crimes in that court. Now, I don't expect anyone to do that. But after this report, you have the building blocks of legal standing now to go against China. Not to go against Xi Jinping, but there's guys who run those facilities. There are provincial leaders who run those facilities who are the governors of that state that could be essentially held accountable after this report. I don't expect that to happen. Why Michelle Bachelet took long? I think because she doesn't want to embarrass people in China. She knows that she's getting out, and she wanted to see what she could see when she finally got to go to Xinjiang and inspect some of those facilities, because that was supposed to happen in 2020, but then, of course, COVID came, so that was put on hold for about a year. So all those things come into play. Yeah.
Wow. So the thing that I'm looking at here is that this report, obviously, we had heard lots of things that were happening over there, not just with the Uyghurs, but also with Falun Gong and everybody else. I mean, I'm sure that, you know, you've had a brush in your coverage with Falun Gong and what they're doing in the claims of live organ harvesting.
China views this. So let's pretend that you and I are Chinese nationalists. Not China. We work for the Chinese intelligence operator. We're Chinese intelligence officers, military. Okay? Let's pretend.
All right.
Put your hat on, listeners. Put your hat on, listeners. And this is what they think of the Uyghurs. Okay? They think of the Uyghurs, not all of them, but enough of them, as part of the East Turkmenistan Islamic movement, known as ETIM. ETIM. Which is an international terrorist organization, okay? And those guys look back and go, who helped, who's good guys, who's friends and friends on Monday and enemies on Tuesday and then friends again on Wednesday with international terrorist organizations? Who could that be? Let me think. Oh, Washington, okay? So they think of groups like ETIM as being sponsored or helped by the U.S., okay? Whether it's true, whether it's not true, I'm just pretending. I'm being a Chinese intelligence guy. That's all I'm doing. You got to understand the enemy, right? So they think of this as being, this is something in Xinjiang that could be, for all intents and purposes, a foreign operation against China, okay? That's one. Also, when you look at groups like Falun Gong, very innocent Christian group in China, underground church, right? How does China look at that? They look at that the same way they look at things like human rights, okay, gay rights. They look at that as being an infiltration of Western value to demonize their political leaders, okay? So they see people who adhere to those things, Falun Gong, as being sort of useful stooges, so to speak, okay? Even if those people are just 101% innocent, that's not how the government sees them. The government sees them as a potential virus, and they come down on them. And that's because these are societies that are deeply untrusting, you know, of foreigners. And I'm not saying that Asians are deeply untrusting, but China, the Communist Party. Look at Russia. I've been to Russia many times, covering it for Forbes. And you go to Russia, and I've only been to Moscow, like probably 10 times, but you go there, and there's this feeling of this cold war. Men are very cold. Women are nice, but men are very cold, and it's very, like, no one trusts anybody. You got to walk through five things of security to get anywhere you want to go. Not a grocery store, but you get the point. If I'm in a nightclub, or you're in a fancy restaurant or an event, for example, and there's a government official there, it's just out of control. No one trusts anybody. Everybody's a bad guy. And this is how it is in China. So to the Chinese government, the Uyghurs, and again, keeping that Chinese intelligence hat on, not looking at it from an American lens or a Western lens, where these poor guys are being rounded up and being treated like criminals because they read the Quran or have dress a certain way. But to the Chinese government, some of those people are bad guys, or they're tied to bad guys. And when I say bad guys, I don't mean just like gangbangers. I mean that they might be assets for a foreign government. That's how they see it. That is how China sees it. And so to China, Xinjiang is a legitimate war on terrorism operation. That is the China narrative. That is the China story on that. And we could say that some of that is legit. Unfortunately, a lot of people get rounded up. And, of course, we know the CCP, like communists of old and forever, lied. So China had what was called these vocational centers. And these centers were set up, as China said, to re-educate the population. Okay? Because a lot of people there weren't interested in work, they weren't interested in, you know, Han Chinese, you know, majority culture. They were just, you know, I guess bums in terms of the way the CCP viewed them. They were arrested, they had an option, go to prison because your mom is wearing a hijab or whatever, or you go to the center here and you learn how to speak Chinese and you learn how to, you know, respect the state and all this stuff. Those things were closed down. Okay, supposedly, in 2019, according to the UN, they were closed down. They couldn't really verify it. But when I spoke to the UN, they said, you know, we saw a facility. It was empty. That was that. But what China done instead was tripled the size of the prisons. Okay, so the vocational centers, which is where people learn to speak Chinese or sing national anthems and maybe, you know, break stones with, you know, flip-flops on for a living or an internship. Now, instead of that option, now they go to jail, and then for however long. So, you know, you can never trust them. We can't assume that all of a sudden China expects a whole bunch of criminals to be running rampant in Xinjiang over the next year or two. We can't possibly expect that because they keep saying the war on terrorism for them has been a success. There's been no terrorist attacks in that region by Uyghur Muslim groups. But instead, they're increasing their prisons, and shutting down the vocational centers where, what the UN refers to as coerced labor, took place.
Well, of course, now, Ken, they're also looking at the fact that they're killing large numbers of innocent people and hundreds of police officers, causing immeasurable damage to property. But The thing is that Biden turns around and signs the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act into law this summer as part of official response to this report. I got to wonder, what the hell good is it? What good? You think China's going to pay any attention to this act that Biden signed just because he's the pompous butt that showed up late to the Queen's funeral that had to sit in the back? I mean, seriously, you think anybody in the world stage respects what he did signing this thing into law?
The thing about the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act, you know, and that wasn't Biden's idea, of course. That's Congress, right? He just signs the bill. He doesn't sit there and say, when I'm president, I'm going to protect the Uyghurs. He's not saying that. Congress comes up with the bill. It goes on his desk, and he sits there, and the cameras go off, and he signs his name. You know, that's Biden's contribution to the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act. That's Marco Rubio and other people in the House and Senate who came up with this idea, and Marco Rubio was one of the stars of it, who came up with it in the first place. So what this will do, it will make it harder. Now, listen, this is how ridiculous this is. It will make it harder for companies to import goods and services from Xinjiang. And some of those will be very specific, like products that go into making solar panels or so on. Now, the other day, National Review magazine, which is a conservative magazine, I believe. I'm not a reader. I think it's conservative. But it might be a Rhino Republican magazine. And they have a headline from today, actually, by a writer named Jimmy Quinn. And this is amazing. Here's the headline. Amazon provides cloud technology for a Chinese military company. Okay? So just think about this. When I say Amazon, I don't mean the jungle. I mean the place where you're buying, supposedly, used to buy books from, and now you're buying everything plus the kitchen sink at Amazon. And that company runs a cloud services firm, contracted out to the Chinese military. Okay, so when you look at things like Uyghur Forced Prevention Act, how is this going to work, you say? How is it going to work? The thing is, it's very difficult for customs to patrol every single thing that comes into the border, right? And of course, a lot of things come into the border through Amazon. And if it comes in through Amazon from China and it's priced at under $800, that customs doesn't have to look at that. I mean, it's like, it's tax comes in duty-free, okay? So customs are not tasked to look at that stuff. They're looking at stuff that comes in through the port in big containers, right? So you have a major multinational corporation in Amazon, arguably one of the biggest companies in the world, who's doing business with the Chinese military, okay, maybe even providing cloud services for a company in China that actually has an open-air prison for people in Xinjiang, like Minority Report, looking at their faces. Oh, there's David. David's again. I saw that guy. He was friends with someone who's reading the Quran. There he is. He's going to the market. Let's go round him up. All right? That's what Amazon provides. So why does the Uyghur Forced Prevention Act, will it work? Will it be a joke? Forget Joe Biden. Forget him. Why is Amazon allowed to provide cloud services to this company that the Director of National Intelligence, in every report for the last 5 years that I've seen, continues to say that China is the biggest threat to the United States government has ever seen? Okay? And Amazon is allowed to go in there and provide tech services because they get paid a handsome amount of money. And to the Chinese military. This isn't a Chinese hospital. They're not providing it to Alibaba or Tencent. They're providing it to a military contractor. So you ask again, how does this stuff work? How does the Uyghur Forced Prevention Act, you know, prove to be a success? The question is, what are multinationals going to do? Why are multinational corporations just allowed to either invest in these companies or just do business, not with China. You can do business with China, but do business with a Chinese military company. There are dozens of Chinese military companies that are traded on or contractors, like the equivalent of a Raytheon or a Lockheed Martin, that have stocks listed in Shanghai. If you're a Wall Street firm like BlackRock, you can't invest in those companies, but Amazon can sign a deal and do business with them, and it's fine. Intel can sell microchips. So this has to stop, because this is what makes things like the Uyghur Forced Labor Prevention Act, for example, just be a paper tiger. Because you just have American and, you know, and European, maybe Japanese as well, don't know, just helping China be the Frankenstein monster that it is today.
This is crazy, Ken. I mean, this is you've said it. And everybody that's shopping on Amazon right now, .com, I mean, what's your take on it? I can't sit there and tell you to boycott Amazon because everybody goes there. So, you know,
I don't do Amazon.
I try to avoid whenever possible. Sometimes they have the only thing that I need to complete a project, and I'm forced to buy it there because nobody else has got it. I can't go to Home Depot or Lowe's, but Amazon has it. And it's like, well, shoot, what do I do? You know, so it's like it's a lesser of two evils. I try not to shop them ever since all of this news started to come out about Amazon and what they were doing. The multinationals, I think, are doing a lot, and I really, it's about the relationship with Amazon and what they have right now with the cloud-based services you're talking about is about probably as deceptive and probably as anti-American as the Bidens going over there and Hunter making deals, and we don't know anything about it during the 2020 elections.
Yes, look, American corporations, Western corporations for a long time have been very happy playing both sides of the field. And they, you know, we know through history that I think it was IBM gave technology to the Nazi Germany. We could argue that maybe IBM didn't know that the Nazis were rounding up innocent people rail cars and sending them off to their doom. Maybe IBM can argue they didn't know that at the time. But there's no excuse for Amazon, right, to be providing any sort of cloud service to a Chinese military. You provide it to, like I said, a grocery store chain, Tencent, Alibaba, whatever. But a Chinese military, this is just beyond the pale. There's no reason for this to happen. And I say, and again, we talk about what is Washington doing. There's only so much. We live in a free society. We don't want the government to say, you know, David, your radio show, we're already getting there, so we don't want to be there any closer than we are now. David, your radio show can't talk bad about our dear leader. You can only buy this from this person. You can only this approved buyer. So we don't want our government really to sit there and say, Amazon, you can't be selling, a product to Russians or the Chinese. Look, no one told these corporations to leave Russia when Russia attacked Ukraine in February, but they could not wait to leave Russia. Well, it's very easy to leave Russia. Russia is a very small market for the United States. Russia and the United States don't really have any trade to speak of. But
there's something new happened. There's something new happened, Ken. As of this morning, we got news in that Vladimir Putin has now granted citizenship to Edward Snowden.
Oh, there you go. I wonder if he accepts that. I wonder if he will accept that. I guess he will. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know the Snowden story that well. You know, I've really only seen it, heard of it through the lens of Glenn Greenwald, who was one of the people that Snowden leaked stuff to back in the day. So
sure.
That's interesting. Snowden, boy, yeah, I can imagine all the intel guys in D.C. are probably worried about that, thinking, but you know, I don't know what he knows now. I don't know. I don't know what he knows now. But yeah, imagine living in Russia. You know, like I said, I've been to Russia many times, mostly to Moscow. It's a nice city, but for a Westerner, for an American, it takes some getting used to it. It's beautiful. It's a clean city. It's really nice, and it's upscale, and there's a lot you can do there, and the culture is really unique and cool. But I mean, I don't know. He's an American. I don't know. He's been living there for a long time, so maybe he's really settled into it. The language is totally different. Not a romance language. That's for sure. But I guess he's going to. Maybe he'll accept that citizenship. It's the only place he can go without being, arrested. Maybe. Maybe if Japan was to offer it to him, the American government would say, "Okay, we're coming in. The dark of night, and we're going to bring you back to the United States for questioning." So maybe that's his only place.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's amazing, though, that they would offer it to him now when all this is coming down as a tit-for-tat on the sanctions that the West – I mean, to me, they're cutting off their nose to spite their face. The biggest thing was when all of a sudden we're not energy independent anymore and Germany and the rest of Europe is facing a brutally harsh winter because the Nord Stream pipeline, which Biden and our government sought to let Russia go forward with – all of a sudden is now shut off the gas to Europe because of the sanctions. So the tit-for-tat stuff, it works the same way in China, and you got to wonder, because of what most of, I think, our conservative base is looking at, is whether we treat China as an enemy because of their rights abuses of people, their human rights abuses, or whether because they're an actual threat to the United States and because they're in Canada and they're south of the border and they're coming into, Brazil and taking over these areas militarily and moving military bases to these various areas. I think that's more of what I think Americans are concerned with these days, don't you?
Yes, and I'm going to say two things on this. I'm going to take this deeper, and I hope I have time before the break. So, look. Again, let's pretend we're Chinese intel guys. Let's put our hats on again. Put the red star and all that. Let's do it. So China's going, hey, for years the United States has military bases everywhere, and yeah, it was peace and love and whatever. So why can't we do it? We're not starting wars anywhere. Okay, that's all. Thanks.
Yep. Hold that thought right there. Yeah. When we come back, we're going to continue that thought process because I want to talk about that little corn production factory they built west of Grand Forks Air Base in North Dakota. We'll be back with Ken Raposa here on the Power Hour after this break. Stay with us.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregaresp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with oil of oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that oil of oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Listen, one of the things that was not mentioned was the Oregadent. That's for when you brush your teeth. You just take it and put your toothpaste on your toothbrush and just take a couple drops of Oregadent and put that on your toothbrush and brush your teeth. And I'm telling you, that stuff, once I brush my teeth, I don't want to eat anything for a while. Anyway, it's wonderful. So I use it a couple times a day, and your teeth really do feel so fresh. It's going to help a lot the next time I go to the dentist. So I really appreciate you giving me the heads up about that one.
Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829. Right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Just recently, we both started on the lithium balance. I want to keep my memory. My two in-laws are dealing with, the Alzheimer's. They're in their 90s, and I see it. I don't want to be like that, and I've heard you talk about lithium to, you know, improve our memory and keep us up there.
Call 877-817-9829. That number again is 877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
Does Big Pharma have a hold of you? ThePowerMall.com believes everything the body needs is provided by nature, unlike prescription drugs that aren't meant to cure but cover up your symptoms and contain addicting chemicals. Strauss Heart Drops are 100% all natural. Get the original. Get Strauss Heart Drops by calling Jay at 1-877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or order online at ThePowerMall.com today.
Thirty-three minutes after the hour of 12 noon Central Time, Monday, September 26, 2022. Dave Krieger with you on the Power Hour. Welcome back to the second half of our second hour with Ken Raposa. He is a seasoned veteran business journalist, more than 20 years in the field as a reporter for Boston Globe and stationed abroad in Russia. Knows China like 80%. I think that's what he said, right, Ken?
Yeah, 80%, 80.1%.
Which means, you know, if you take, you might throw him a curve. We don't want you throwing any curveballs. But the phone lines are open. That's 844, right? You got that number in your speed dial right there, 844-769-2944. All right, and so now because of the fact, I mean, we're going to speculate on some of this stuff. They just recently canceled over 9,500 flights, and Xi Jinping is kind of in the wind. What's the scoop on that?
Okay.
Have any idea?
Now, let me tell you one thing. We're never going to know, right? Because we're never going to know, right? This is a closed society, so we're never going to know. But let's pretend, right? I think it's nothing. Let's pretend that it was a quote-unquote coup, and Xi Jinping is removed from power, of the C-State tell you, your listeners, and certainly the punk money that I work for, better hope that the new Xi Jinping is even more of a tough guy than Xi Jinping. Because if you get a Western-looking reformist that comes on board, let me tell you, and they start throwing, you know, allowing for a Shanghai Pride Parade, okay, all of a sudden, China looks like it's open to the West. They've seen the error of their ways. Let's let bygones be bygones. Let's get rid of all this China trade war, Trump tariffs. Let's stop it all. Let's just, you know, China's going to be one big Japan, just like we always knew it would be back in the 70s and 80s. Weren't we smart? It finally happened. Yay. And what does that mean? The Western democracy model is no longer a model. The new model is the China model. It's the top-down, autocratic, technocratic model where a managerial elite knows how to do things. We don't need democracy, people to uprise and overthrow Xi. The managerial elite will do it. The scientists and the technocrats and the autocrats and the bureaucrats, they know exactly what to do. It's been done. Look, let's be just like China. Then we'll all be happy and live happily ever after. Kumbaya, one world, yay. Right? We do not want Xi Jinping to step down and that guy to take over. Because as I described it to you, trust me, that will happen. If China is ever viewed as one big Japan, as was the view in the 70s and 80s, you remember when Ross Perot talked about the one big sucking sound, what would happen if NAFTA was ever signed into law and all the trade, all the manufacturing would head south? Right? Remember that? 90s? That's what it would be. It would be a massive black hole sounding, sucking sound of every manufacturing base in the Western world just being shipped to Asia. Because there would be no reason to even want to diversify supply chain, no reason to even talk about a secure supply chain when China's our friend now. They're our pals. Look, she's gone. The big bosses took them out. You know, this is the way it's done. Everything's fine. We finally got China right. Let bygones be bygones. It's day one in the Western world-China relationship. So I don't think there was a coup. I'm pretty sure Xi Jinping's in power. And if he ever leaves, you better hope that he's not replaced by a Western looking reformist. Because as I just described to you, is exactly what will happen. All the globalists will love every minute of that. They will sell China to the world, and there is no need for you to be making anything in the United States, okay? There's no need for you to make anything in the United States because China and Asia could just make it cheaper. And that's the solution.
So where do you think our Congress is right now with China? I mean, they know Xi Jinping is in power. And they obviously have enough intelligence sources out there to understand exactly how much of our technology is being shipped over there, including Amazon. And this administration is virtually just, you know, let them do whatever they want. But the bigger problem that we have here is that they've got issues in this country. And I'm talking about our Congress and our government that are basically weaponized DOJ. They're doing virtually the same thing, coming after people they don't agree with. And then China, of course, you remember the last time that they got together with wink and blink and a nod over there at our trade talks or whatever talks that you want to call them. I think they were a joke. And the Chinese basically just, you know, snubbed their nose at us and called us a bunch of hypocrites. So, you know, I don't know how much better off we are. Obviously, my whole take in this thing is that if China were ever allowed to come here, and I know that we have some people that understand this completely to have done the research, because I have one of the callers on the line right now, and to ask her, just stay put right there, honey, because I know you. I know what you're going to say, and I really am looking forward to it. But they don't need Biden. They don't need our Congress. If they came over here and took us over, they would not want to blow us into kingdom come. They would want to launch an EMP and knock out our grid and watch us kill ourselves so they can march in here with their 20 million man army. That would make more sense to China, would it not?
Is that for me? Oh, well, you know, let me tell you what would make more sense to China. What makes more sense to China is that influential leaders of the United States, as we've seen happen in, for the most part in places of Europe, would just have a hands-off approach to China. hands off, okay? And then it would make even more sense for China, be a wonderful thing for China, to end all the trade war tariffs that Trump imposed. That's all China needs. That's all China, a return to the status quo is all China needs, because they can invest in the United States, right? They can invest in, I said, Utah corn mill factory, I think in North Carolina and North Dakota, okay? They can invest in it. So no one's stopping them. Now, they might not be able to invest in, you know, a new high-tech, you know, missile launcher. They might not be able to invest in that. But if they have Chinese scientists who work at Los Alamos, okay, and spy and get all the secrets and send the missile launcher technology, the warp speed missile launcher technology to China, what's the difference? And they do that anyway. It's already happening. So, you know, they don't need to come in here with a Red Army, you know, dropped in from, you know, the equivalent of the Chinese C-130 Hercules and a parachute into town. It doesn't have to happen, because what I just described is all they need to win. You know, they just run the numbers. So you get a business class that's totally beholden to the Chinese. You got a D.C. government that's totally beholden to the business class, which is beholden to the Chinese because that's where all the money is. And then with money invested in the United States, you know, they can do whatever they want. And if they wanted to break the United States for whatever reason, or as a symbol of democracy, let's say, if that was a thing in the future, and let's hope to God it is. That's what we're here for. Then they could just, you know, destroy whatever it is they have here. You know, just, oh, the corn mill, for example. Oh, it caught on fire. Oh, my goodness, we can't get corn to people. Wow, that's so weird. How did that happen?
Yeah, well, you know. Ken, but the thing is, Los Alamos National Laboratory came up on our radar because at least 162 researchers have been hired by the CCP over the last 35 years, according to a report just out. They worked in a top U.S. national security lab hired by the Chinese communist regime to do research. This report has been directly advanced Chinese military technology, which threatens U.S. national security. I mean, that's what's on our radar today. Former Los Alamos scientists have made and continue to make considerable contributions to China's hypersonic missile and submarine programs that present an array of security risks for the U.S. and the entire free world, according to this report. So, you know, I don't know, you know, how we're going to play that with the comment I just made about electromagnetic pulse and what they, you know, I mean, why not just take over the entire country and do away? You just said we don't need democracy. Why don't we just do away with Washington, D.C., as we know it, get rid of every bureaucrat in deep state and China just come and take over? Wouldn't that be their unilateral wet dream?
Yeah, but you know what? It might not be China's wet dream. It might be some of the unilateral wet dream, as you say, of a lot of our Western leaders. You know, you go back to history of China and how China opened up. You know, go back to the days of the 70s when Henry Kissinger is going there and Zbigniew Brzezinski is going there. And what are they teaching China? The books have been written about this. They're not teaching China, you know, how to be one big, you know, Japan. They're teaching China to be, you know, stay as you are. Let's see if we can create this sort of top-down authoritarian model that's, you know, open and friendly to people, give people a good life, right? But, you know, if they're going to be dissenting against you, you know, you guys can, you know, crack heads. Look, when we had Tiananmen Square, a few years later, George H.W. Bush is rolling around in Tiananmen Square and received with open arms. So, you know, a lot of these guys, don't be fooled that the Western world leadership is not perfectly fine with the China model. What nation, what place in the world locked down as hard as the Chinese? I mean, the Chinese locked down ridiculously hard, but who did it in second place? Europe. Europe did it in second place. You know, not Brazil, not Mexico, not India, not Kazakhstan. Brazil, you know, Europe. Who said if you don't get a vaccine, you're not going to get a job? Who did it? Not Chinese. Europe did it. These guys love this stuff. You can never be fooled to think that it's the Chinese model is a model that not just the Chinese are promoting. It's great for the Chinese. We win. We're the smart guys. We're the smartest guys in the room. Ha ha, you are stupid. Right? But the Western leadership, why does the Western leadership not say, we don't want your model? We don't want to be like you. We don't want to lock down like you. We don't want to have we want people to have a voice. We want freedom. We want people to decide their future. We want people to decide whether they're going to drive a Tesla or a gas car. We want people to decide whether they're going to eat hamburgers or mealworm burgers. We don't want that four stars. We want people to decide if they want three kids or one. Okay? We want that. They don't say that. That's not what they say. They never say that. If they do, they're not the top of the dog. They're not the top of the heap. There's some mid-level House of Representative guy who can shout and scream, but he's not going to be president. That's it.
No doubt. Esther in Washington, you're on the line with Ken Raposa. Thanks for holding. What's going on?
Hello, Ken Raposa. Is that your last name? Did I do it right?
You did it right.
Better than the telemarketers who never get my name right.
Okay, wonderful, wonderful. Well, thank you so much. You're a joy to listen to. I do a lot of community work, and I picked up a book at the book sale that we were having, and it's called Down by the River, Drugs, Money, Murder, and Family, Charles Bowden. It took him 7 years to write this. He's a journalist. He's amazingly still alive. And he wrote books such as Blood Orchid, Trust Me, Desierto, The Sonoran Desert, Frog Mountain Blues, and Killing the Hidden Waters. Now, I was so impressed with this man because everything he says and writes can be backed up by 25 endnotes or more. And then, of course, he has a glossary in the back of his book. Completely thorough. And, you know, people all over the world have forgotten there is a foundation to all of this garbage that we're seeing. What is that foundation? It has been bothering me for a long time. I pick up this book, I read it, and there's the answer. What is the foundation of this global garbage going around our world?
Well,
I'm going to read you a quote on page 410, and it says, as of the spring of 2002, the United Nations pegged the global narcotics trade as $400 billion a year, a sum that exceeds the global oil and gas trade and is double the global trade in motor vehicles. This is in 2002. Right now, China has gone to bed with Mexico, and they are building high-tech complexes for all sorts of AI technology as well as labs, fentanyl labs, drug labs, biological warfare labs. And that corn, that building over in North Dakota, that's not for corn. That's for drugs. That's for intel. People have forgotten that the cartels, especially the Mexican cartels, the Mexican cartels own the world, and they have coupled with China to own the world. Look at it. We hear about people crossing the border, DEA, EPIC, all sorts, Department of Justice. There's no reports coming out as to why, or on the cartels themselves. Everybody ignores Mexico. They're just the enchilada tamale. Happy, happy people. They're so humble. Well, let me tell you, Mexicans, even Satan runs away from Mexico. He does not like it there. And Mexico is hand in hand with the globalists, providing them the money, the drugs, and the pathways to build their global empire. But China and Mexico have coupled together, and this is the problem, the foundation of the entire world. Now, we had Russia, Russia, Russia. Now we have China, China, China. Now we need Mexico, Mexico, Mexico. Ay, ay, ay. Where have we all been?
Well, I have not read the book, but there's one thing that I've always thought, well, not always. This is a recent thought of mine, and I think it will speak to what you've just said. We can send drones into a wedding somewhere in Egypt and, you know, shoot down a terrorist, right? Easily. We talk about it, we brag about it, you know, it's on the evening news. But where are the drones that are leaving an Air Force base in New Mexico, flying into Tijuana or Chiapas and blowing up a fentanyl lab? How come we never hear about that? You don't think they know where they are?
Because the U.S. is hand in hand with the cartels since
Reagan. That's the only explanation.
That money. They need the money, and that's what they're using to undermine societies all over the world. And it's successful. People have stopped thinking. And Mexico and the U.S. are so arm-in-arm. In fact, when they have an enchilada, they feed each other that one enchilada. This is the most corrupt situation the whole world has ever seen. We have the Russian mafia, the Chinese mafia. It is worldwide. And why? Because drugs are fueling the world economic system right now. It's not oil. It's not AI. It's not Amazon. It is drugs. And Mexico, trust me, Mexicans are so cruel. And when Trump said that they were murderers and rapists, he was being really nice. Let's all look at Mexico now. And I know that you have the brain and the understanding and the capability. Let's get it out there. Let's start ragging on Mexico now. Let's get it out.
Well, I'll tell you, you know, Mexico
is... Call,
yeah, Mexico is definitely a problem on the trade front, right? Because Mexico is essentially, as part of U.S., as part of NAFTA, too, is essentially, you know, the United States' low regulation and low labor cost, right? Haven. That's where you go to build cars now, and so on. It's the 51st state for the auto industry. You could build a car in Mexico, and you can get the same government subsidy for if it's an electric vehicle, for example. The Ford Mach-E Mustang is built in Mexico. American iconic car. Ford can't even make it in Detroit. They got to make it in Mexico. Fine, okay, whatever. And, you know, Mexican workers, you know, are building the cars, make whatever it is they make an hour, 10, 12 bucks an hour, and, you know, they can sell it to an American, and they can get a $7,000 tax break off the car, even though it's not even made here. So, you know, Mexico is a problem in that regard. As far as the drugs go, and I don't really know that, but I agree. You know, drugs are is the biggest trade in the world. It's bigger than oil. It's bigger than semiconductors and automobiles. And where does that money go? Well, you know, if we think that it's, you know, holed up in a safe somewhere, you know, we got another thing coming, right? It's got to be somewhere. And I've always asked, and I think this is a question people have to ask themselves. We can drone a wedding in Syria and Egypt, kill a stupid terrorist, and get some collateral damage on some child, and think nothing of it. But while people are walking around like zombies in beloved cities like San Francisco and L.A., destroying the state, California, we can't get a drone in to blow up a fentanyl lab. It does. It tells you everything you need to know about what that's all about. They're not interested in doing it. They like it. They're happy with it going on. They just talk about it, and they do nothing.
Well, and see, the thing is the more you keep these borders open, the more those drugs come in here. I mean, that's just it in a nutshell. Esther's, you know, pretty much right on point with that. Bob in Missouri, we don't have a lot of time. You're on the phone with Ken Raposa. Go for it.
Hey, Bob. Real quick, hi. At the end of World War II, there was a Mexican invasion, as Germany said, the soft underbelly of America. Eisenhower said 2 million is called Operation Wetback, Mexicans back to Mexico, because we're being invaded. If we went into Mexico, the amount of Mexicans coming in our country, Americans going, gringos going to their country, that'd be called a full-scale invasion trying to take over Mexico. But that's not the case in our media. Now, a couple things. Obama, how much did he give to Iran? What was that? $150 billion? How much did he give for those prisoners? And isn't it coincidental that they are buying up areas in our United States, and that was from the money we sent, that Obama sent to them from us to come in and invade our country? It's called the Stalinist, Westlow paid for the rope to hang himself. We got China coming in here and buying up our country. You know, so this is a full-scale invasion from all sides. And by the way, I listened to Alex Jones the other day. Now they're saying that if you say the word globalist, you're called anti-Semitic. Did you know that?
Yeah. Well, this is all I have, right? You're either a racist, which is also, you put an asterisk near that. That also means fascist and Nazi. Or you're a transphobe because gays and lesbians don't matter anymore. Only the trans people matter. So you're a transphobe. And then the other one is, you know, you don't believe this. Don't believe in science, which relates, of course, to experimental drugs in order to make you healthy and clean and fine. Or you don't take 5 vaccines in order to protect you from COVID. Or, of course, you don't believe in climate change. That's the thing. So those are the ones they use. I'm surprised on the anti-Semitic thing. Because that seems to have died down over the past few years, but that they're kind of bringing it back. Well, I guess they bring it back because of Soros or something like that, because they call him Jewish. I mean,
whatever.
I don't even know how
whatever.
Jewish he is.
I'm just telling you, you know, he's Jewish. He's a Hungarian Jew. Anyway, we are at war in every way. They've taken over our churches. It's been a long, incremental process. The main thing with the churches, the government, these are globalists, and they hate this country. They look at you as a slave. These are billionaires and trillionaires. They do not have any allegiance to this country. They hate this country because there's a war. There's a war in the middle class, and that's what's going on. So anyway, you guys, good show. I'll talk to you later.
All right, we appreciate your call, Bob, in Missouri. And, you know, the thing is you bring up the point where it's getting into the churches. Well, you know, we have another issue, too. You know, there's a church in Katy, Texas, which calls it a Christian church. And right now they're going into a huge thing where the Antifa and Proud Boys are clashing. This is a culture war in Katy, Texas, outside Houston. And it's a drag bingo event hosted by a pro-LGBT church. Microcosm of America's culture war played out with liberals and conservatives screaming at each other across a boulevard over the weekend. And this is 300 Texas conservative line an entire block to protest the First Christian Church in Katy, which sponsored a sold out family drag bingo event to raise money to benefit its transparent closet.
Was Beto the fake Latino there?
You know, it wouldn't surprise me, but I don't think so. You know, what was really funny.
I want to say one thing before we close out. You know, the battle of our time is, speak about what your caller just said, but the battle for our time is the battle between globalists and populists. And Trump, of course, came on board and he made populism, you know, a thing where people go, wow, that's actually pretty influential. And, you know, millions of Americans, the most powerful country in the world, seem to support it. Yikes. And actually, so did the Bernie Sanders supporters. Thank God he was a beta boy and we were able to shut him down and he doesn't complain. He just sits in his little corner and does nothing. But Trump, he fought back. We got to do something to get this guy out of here because the globalists hate populists. So the battle of our time in the Western world is globalists versus populists and decentralization versus centralization. That's the battle. How that comes out, if it comes out with the globalists winning, then you get centralization. And then you get centralization, that just means more control over your life. And that's limited freedoms for us all.
Yeah, so I don't even know if November is going to make a difference other than the fact that the Republicans suspect the Democrats are going to try to steal the election again. We don't know. I guess that's remains to be seen. Ken Raposa, we're out of time today. Thank you so much for joining us, sir. We appreciate you and your commentary and your insight. It's always wonderful to have this kind of conversation here on the Power Hour. Ladies and gentlemen, we are done for today. Dave Krieger with you. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for your phone calls, Esther and Bob. Just like to say, you know, we are still a free country. Freedom of speech is still allowed, and so is freedom of movement. If you got to vote with your feet, at least think about doing it at the ballot box. In the meantime, we'll see you tomorrow for more of the Power Hour. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, Numana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
I don't know where to start. There's so many products you guys offer. I think one of the first things I ever ordered from you guys was your clay. The clay is miraculous. I could not do without that. And the charcoal, you know, you can get yourself in a bathtub to kind of help take the toxins out. So just those two alone, but I could go on to the OptiVita silver lozenges. Of course, then the Oregarasp and the P73, the oil of oregano, and your Vitamir toothpaste. Again, I could go on and on and on.
Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.